The Lord be with you.
And with your
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Lord Jesus Christ. Where does this identity of Jesus as king come from? It comes from the Old Testament. It comes from King David. God began a covenant with David. And through this covenant, a covenant similar in character to the covenant that he began with Abraham or Moses, he began a covenant with King David. And one of the promises within this covenant was that your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. And so the line of David and the kingship of David became a hallmark, a signal of the one who was to come, the Messiah, was to be part of the line of David, part of his lineage, who would establish or reestablish the reign of David's line and a throne that would last forever. We hear this more than once throughout some of the prophets. In Isaiah, we hear that a shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse. He said, what does Jesse have to do with King David? Jesse was the father of David. And so David is of the lineage of Jesse, and so the lineage of this eternal or everlasting reign is of the lineage also of Jesse. This reference and this image of Jesse's stump and the shoot is a very important one for the season of Advent as well, where we have the tradition of the Jesse tree as a means or as a technique of remembering the promises told about Jesus and counting the days of Advent. In the prophet Jeremiah, says, "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land." We hear more about the connection of the Messiah and David even in the Gospels. Very near to the beginning of the Gospel of Luke, we hear the angel Gabriel say to Mary through the Annunciation, "You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Both the Gospels of Matthew and Luke provide to us a genealogy of Jesus, striving to assist us in understanding and seeing the fulfillment of God's plan and placing Jesus through Joseph in the tree or in the lineage of David. At a certain point in the Gospels, we hear a certain blind man, a blind beggar whose name is Bartimaeus, at least in one of the Gospels, who calls out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." This blind man had likely never met Jesus before, but he had heard through the crowd that Jesus was special, that he had healing powers, and his heart knew that, or at least trusted, that Jesus was the Messiah. And if he was the Messiah, certainly he was also the son of David. Those two roles are linked through the fulfillment and the prophecies of God. This connection with kingship continues. In the prophet Daniel, one of the very last books in the Old Testament, before we turn to the New. In Daniel, we hear, "As I watched the night visions, I saw one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. And he came to the one who is ancient of days and was presented before him. To him was given dominion and glory and kingship, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away, and his kingship is one that shall never be destroyed." Jesus quotes this very passage from the prophet Daniel multiple times in the Gospels. Five within the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It is also referred to in the book of Revelation, which was written by the Apostle John. Jesus uses this passage, this reference, to teach his disciples in private on the Mount of Olives just before the Last Supper. And then again, when he's on trial before the priest's council after being arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. In the Gospel of Matthew, within this same teaching, Jesus shares with his disciples, which plants the seeds of their later faith and understanding. He returns to talking about this reference to the majesty and glory revealed within the second coming of the Messiah, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him. Then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him. Jesus does not directly refer to himself as the Messiah in so direct a way. But he does identify himself with the Son of Man, which is a title that refers to those prophecies, refers to our ability to identify the Messiah. So indirectly, he certainly does identify him as the one who is to come. As a worshiping family of faith, we have heard this particular reference from Daniel in our own hearing three times recently. The first being in the Gospel reading from last Sunday, and then the original from Daniel himself just a moment ago in our first reading, and then again just a couple moments later within the reading from Revelation in our second reading today. Within this passage from the beginning of the book of Revelation, we are reminded that Jesus Christ loves us, freed us from sins, and has made us to be a kingdom. And what kind of kingdom has he created us to be, has he made us into? Jesus explains this to Pontius Pilate. He has made us into a kingdom that is not of this world. An otherworldly kingdom, a kingdom that is clearly different because his followers are not fighting for his release. That is the sign that Jesus provides as an example of the differences between a typical earthly or worldly kingdom and the kingdom of which he belongs. Jesus, rather than proclaim himself a king directly, which by doing so preserves his innocence against the accusation of treason, Jesus allows Pontius Pilate, who is the most powerful ruler in that region, the ruler of a powerful worldly kingdom, the Roman Empire, to come to that conclusion himself. Jesus allows Pontius Pilate, in a certain way, to proclaim Jesus king himself, and a conclusion that Jesus does not reject. He does not correct Pilate. And with this, he is further identified as a king. This particular feast day, which is the final feast day and Sunday of ordinary time, we are reminded of this kingdom of which we belong, and the king who is the head of our kingdom. Through our baptism and through our identity as Christian believers and disciples, we become members of this kingdom. A kingdom that will not pass away. A kingdom that will gather all nations at the throne of the King for final judgment. Judgment by the perfect King, the perfect and merciful Judge. We belong to a kingdom that fulfills the plan of God. God who set it in action and established it, and of which it was foretold. The head of this kingdom is our head, our king. A king without beginning or end, who reveals his divine glory, who is the first and the last. A king who was acknowledged in his mysterious and humble majesty, even as a very young child, who frightened earthly kings to the point of murderous jealousy, and who received at such an early age gifts fit for a king in response to a recognition that he fulfills the prophecies laid out by God. We are members of this kingdom, and we live in an age that resists and struggles against sovereignty, the idea of one single ruler over us. And this is natural, and we've been trained to resist this kind of authority, give or take, for the last 200 and so years within Western culture and society. But where we make a mistake of resisting this type of majestic or royal authority is that we only have earthly rulers as examples. And of course, earthly rulers are imperfect. Earthly rulers can be despotic or tyrannical. Earthly rulers make big mistakes. And we have been taught to value our freedom, our independence, our self-governance in a certain sense. And because of this, we struggle with the idea of being subject to a king. But in this, we need to remember that we are not subjects of a typical earthly king. We are subjects voluntarily, through our membership in his body, of the perfect king, the eternal king, the king who provides for us in our needs, who gives us life and a chance to enjoy the goodness of his kingdom forever. Let us follow the footsteps and the signals throughout the revelation of Scripture allowing ourselves to love our King, a King like no other, and to love being part of this kingdom, a kingdom not of this world, a heavenly kingdom, a kingdom whose head is God Himself. In humility and in joy and in gratitude, let us rejoice in being members and part of this glorious and eternal kingdom led by a loving and perfect King.